Now we're going to go to our third and last question. Good. So I want to talk a little bit about communication, right? How do you, from the beginning of your innovation journey, as you make progress, talk a little bit about, first, let's talk about internal communication, right? Where does it start? What should be the principles behind the communication program, right, for your innovation? And let's get started at the beginning. So kind of what's your guidance to a company just starting out of the innovation journey around how they communicate that?
Right. This is really interesting, and this goes back to probably one of my first mistakes I made when I was doing corporate entrepreneurship. I'm going to tell you the story first, and then we can discuss about the lessons learned. I think is more fun this way. So I was working with one of the world's largest telecommunication companies, and I was hired. I was mandated there to change the organization and bring in the fresh new way of doing things, basically validating and all of that stuff. And I said, okay, let's do it. So I started working with this team with one product team initially, and then I started working with two and three product teams. And I was coaching them. I was working with them. I said, okay, forget your business plan, forget your business case. Let's just go ahead and do experiments. Let's just take our codes, go out and interview some customers. And we've done that for 3 or 5 weeks all in all. And it was really interesting that at one point we needed to present in front of a committee of managers in order to get budget approval for the next quarter. Actually, not for the next quarter, but it's kind of like mid-quarter review. And I was not attending those meetings as I was not in charge of the teams. I was more on an advisory role with those teams. What was really interesting is that during those meetings, all of my product teams got deprioritized. And that was really interesting. I didn't understand why initially. And then I went to the managers and I started engaging with them. Hey, why did you deprioritize my team? Well, the reason behind that was that they didn't really, really understood the concept behind validation. So it was a miscommunication. Basically, I was teaching somebody to speak one language, but I was not teaching the other individual to learn that language. Right. So immediately after I've seen that, I started engaging with executives and created a management training program. Basically, the managers now were being taught the same language as the product teams were. So I think this was my biggest lesson learned in terms of communication and communication in the context of innovation. Both teams were. Both parties or all parties involved should speak the same language. The finance department should understand why somebody is burning cash on experiments, as much as an executive needs to understand what is the value of having somebody stay at the central station and interviewing people for 8 hours and not staying in the office and filling out those Excel sheets.
Excellent, excellent. So I love it. I mean, I find, and let me get your reaction to it, is that I feel like the first thing that has to be done is for the C-level senior executives to say that, what we're going to do in innovation is a critical part of our strategy on how we transform as a company, right? There has to be kind of a burning flat platform, right? That says this is what we want to be as a company, right? So I sense that. I also sense that words are not enough, right? That you have to immediately start to show some behaviors around what you're doing, right? So that people are not just hearing it, but they're seeing and experiencing that something different is happening. So talk a little bit about that and what you've seen and what works, what doesn't.
Yeah, sure. Again, going back to my experience, I always found that teams that involve the more people from the organization are involved with an innovation team, the better it is for the entire ecosystem. It was the case of a pharma company I was working with, and what was really interesting there is that I was working with multiple teams. But the team that always performed better than any other was the team that had people as diverse as legal, as diverse as compliance as part of their team. And that had a lot of benefits for the team, but for organization as well. And then what was really interesting about the team is they also had middle and higher level managers on the team doing the, let's say, getting their hands dirty. What was really interesting about that team in particular was that, first of all, their experiment cycles, their experiment velocity was definitely faster than all the other teams, because it was really easy to get feedback from the entire organization, because the entire organization was there in one room, right? So the entire organization was there. Legal was represented, marketing was represented, product was represented, but we also had managers there. And also for the organization itself, the benefit was that those people that were sitting on this team coming from legal were able to go back to their department and explain to their peers what is the benefit of talking with customers. And now all of a sudden you had other people that were never in this context, allowing other product teams to take those risks, to go and experiment, go and talk with customers, because they've heard it from someone like them that this is beneficial.
And I want to dig into that a little bit, because a lot of times in a company, right, whether you're talking about sales or product or engineering, everybody feels like they own innovation, right? It's like everybody thinks that they're already innovative. So when you have a separate now innovation initiative, I feel like a lot of times those people now feel threatened, right? And so what are some ways kind of communication-wise, right, and otherwise in the communication realm that you can do to, first of all, anticipate and alleviate those fears, if you will?
Well, people need to understand that by allowing a team to work in a different way or work on a new idea is not going to take other people within the company out of their jobs. It's actually preventing somebody from outside attacking that particular market. You're actually preventing a competitor from putting you out of business. So again, it all needs to happen. Basically, most of the times when I'm hearing this issue is in organizations that have no clear governance for innovation. They don't have a thing called an innovation thesis, basically describing why do we do innovation? Why do we innovate in this and we're not innovating in the other? Why does a healthy, let's say, healthy department, financially healthy department, need to take that money and put it into a cost center, which is pretty much an innovation or R&D department? Innovation or R&D are usually cost centers. They are not revenue centers. And communication also, so again, there's multiple levels of communication. Like it's one-on-one communication. It's talking about, it's talking with your peers, it's talking with your managers, it's how do you communicate effectively with them. But also this can be institutionalized.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also wondering if inclusion is a part of the solution, right? Rather than innovation be a separate thing, it's an overlay where every innovation exercise, you bring, you know, some representatives from every group, right? So all of a sudden you're trying to kind of create cohesion as opposed to introducing a new entity, I guess. Yeah.